Okay, good morning. We are resuming Sotin, Parak Vav. We were up to Pasuk Chaf Dalet, verse 24. And in this Pasuk, Gideon builds a Mizbeach, and the Pasuk describes, in the middle of the Pasuk, Vayikro lo Hashem Shalom, he called it Hashem Shalom. We explain that to be simple understanding. Pasuk Shak is that he was saying either that Hashem bless me with peace here, or what else did we have? Hashem is my peace. So, but then we learned that the Gemara learns from here that it is in fact one of Hashem's names. Shalom is one of Hashem's names. The Gemara says in Shabbos that it is forbidden for a person to greet someone with a Shalom Aleichem in a place that is dirty, in a Beis HaMerchat, because that is one of Hashem's names, and it's learned from this pasuk where he calls Hashem Shalom. And the Gemara wants to know why is Shalom his name. What about a pasuk that says Hakel HaNe'eman? We don't say that the name Ne'eman is Hashem Emunah. We don't say it's one of Hashem's names. So the Gemara says that that's just an explanation of how Hashem is, but it is not Hashem's name, as opposed to over here, somehow it's supposed to be implied that this is actually Hashem's name. And Tosfos goes on to explain that if it was just a description of Hashem, then it would have said something like Hashem Shlomo, Hashem is his peace, but instead it says Hashem Shalom, and that shows that it is actually one of the names of Hashem.
It's a noun, not an adjective.
I guess so. We'll see other explanations maybe why the Gemara knew that this is actually one of Hashem's names and not just a description. We also mentioned last week that the Marsha wonders why is it that way? Why is this one of Hashem's names rather than any of the other descriptions of Hashem? Why is Shalom one of a way of rather than just a description of Hashem like we have, you know, Rachum, Hanun, he's merciful, he's gracious, those aren't Hashem's names. But this, Shalom, is Hashem's name. So the Marsha brought from a Medrash that the Medrash says that when Hashem wanted to create man, the Malachim said, you know, how did the Medrash say it? The Medrash said different groups of Malachim came, and Chesed said create him, because man is Gomel Chasadim. Man does do kindness. And Emes said, don't create him. Man is Kulo Seker, he's all deceit. And Tzedek said, create him, because man is righteous, gives tzedakah. And Shalom said, don't create him, because man is Kulei Ksata, he's full of arguments and dispute. So the Marsha says that you see that there are certain attributes that we can share with Hashem and some that we can't. Rachum and Chanun, that we can be merciful, that we can give tzedakah, that we can share with Hashem. So it wouldn't be an apt description of Hashem, it's something that we share. But Emes and Shalom are specific to Hashem. We don't share those attributes with Hashem, as described in the Medrash. On some level, we don't have Emes, we don't have Shalom. And therefore, that's a fit way to describe Hashem. The Marsha says, we don't call Hashem Emes, because that is Hashem's chosen, that's his signature, which we already mentioned last week. I don't have an explanation for what that means, but because it's Hashem's signature, so it's not one of his names, but Shalom is one of Hashem's names. And I started explaining the Ian Yaakov's approach, which was that we find another reason why Shalom would be one of Hashem's names, but Emes would not, is because we find that Hashem, for Shalom, Hashem overrides Emes. When Avram Avinu and Sarah are told that they're going to have a child, Sarah laughs, and Sarah says, how could I have a child? Ba'adoni Zakeh, my husband is old, we can't produce a child. when Hashem repeats this over to Abraham, he says that she said that she was old. And why does he do that? Chazal tell us because for Shalom Bayis, that Hashem was Mishana, he changed, he didn't say the exact truth in order to keep Shalom between Avram and Sarah. But what we see from here is that the Midah, the attribute of Shalom, will override Emes at times. And that's why it fits for Hashem's name to be Shalom more than the name Emes. The Medrash says that Rachum, Rachmanus, Mercy said, oh, you could create him. And actually, that was Chesed. Chesed said, create him. Because man is Gomel Chasadim, man does do Chesed. And Tzedek, we do Tzedakah. That, for those we share with Hashem, but the way the Medrash describes it, we do not share. The MS said man is all completely Sheker, and Shalom also said man is full of Ketatah, full of dispute, and so those would be attributes that we do not share with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, this is on some level. We find we try to be honest and truthful, and certainly, you know, we have that on some level. But I guess on a certain level, we do not have that on the same level as the Kaddish Bar. The Malbim has a different approach to understanding what it means that Kaddish Baruch Hu's name is Shalom. A little bit deeper. The Malbim describes in a couple of places. We actually started to touch on it last week when we described last week that in Pasuk Chafeis, Gidon is fearful for his life because he's seen the Malach face to face, he's seen a Malach Hashem, and he's fearful for his life. And in Pasuk Chafshimel, Hashem reassures him that Shalom lecha al tira, peace be on you, don't be afraid, lo tamos, you won't die, everything will be fine. And the way Hashem says it is Shalom lecha, peace on you. And Malbim describes how Shalom, peace, is the opposite of death. He's fearful of death. Hashem says you'll have Shalom. How is Shalom the opposite of death? The Malbim describes that what happens at the time of death is a separation of all the yesodos, all the foundations that make up man, the nefesh separating from the neshama. On some level, in some spiritual way, there's a separation at the time of death. And when a person is b'shalom, is at peace, that means that he's being kept together. All the foundations that make up a person are being kept together. That's shalom. That's peace. And really, the Malbim in another place, when he's discussing actually Birkas Kohanim, B'yaseh Melecha Shalom in Parshas Naso, so the Malbim there described that this is really also the Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in keeping the world together. It's a midah of shalom. It's a midah of peace. So the Malbim says that the Hashem spreads himself through all the world, like the achdus of Hashem, the oneness of Hashem is spread throughout the world. That's the shalom that holds the very fabric of creation together. He says again, similar to what we were describing, a person were made up of different parts that would separate if they weren't held together by the neshama. So that's the same thing with the world. The world is held together by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And in some way we are like in a way we're a Tzelem Elokim, we're a creating in the image of Hashem, that just as Hashem holds the world together, holds all the different all fabric of creation which would separate if Hashem didn't make peace in the world, then on a when I say peace in the world, I don't mean between people, but peace in the fabric of creation. Hashem holds it together. Hashem holds it together, but Hashem holds it together in a way when our neshama is holding everything together for us, we're like an olam katan, a small version of that, and that's in a way the tzelem Elokim, the way we're creating the image of God, is that we also have a neshama holding all of our separate parts together, and when we're doing that, when we allow our neshama to be in control of us, so then we make when there's a peace within each person, then that will be ma'orer, will awaken a peace in the world. So that's how the Malbim explains the idea of Hashem, the name of Hashem being Shalom. Is in this way that it's the midah of shalom, the midah of peace that holds together all the fabric of creation. That's where that makes shalom between the different foundations of the world. That's why Hashem is described as shalom. And he then goes on to explain our Gemara that we're discussing. The Gemara about the Gemara. How does the Gemara know from our pasuk that Hashem's name is Shalom? So again, the way the pasuk says it is, Gidon says, "Vayikra lo Hashem Shalom," and he calls to it the Mizbeach, or he calls to Hashem, Hashem Shalom. How does the Gemara know? By the way, I think the Ben Yoyada just says very simply because it says Vayikra, and he called to it, Hashem Shalom, he called to it, I think Vayikra is a word describing, I guess, the naming of something, so he was naming Hashem as Shalom. That would be a way of describing Hashem as, again, with the word Vayikra, he's calling, how does he say it?
Hello, Hashem Shalom.
Yeah, so he says, Kriya Hashem, the naming of someone through the word Vayikra is... Sorry. Okay, so because he uses the word Vayikra, that's how the Gemara knew, as opposed to, I guess, really what the Gemara is comparing it to. The Gemara over there is comparing it to another pasuk that says Hakel Hanam. It describes Hashem as a God who is Naman, who is trustworthy, but over there, it doesn't say Vayikra, it doesn't say that he called him. So again, the Malbim says, you know how the Gemara knew that it was actually naming Hashem as Shalom is as follows. He's short from the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel says that there are different, he calls them segulos, but different character traits of the name Elohim. And one of them is that anytime there's a description of Hashem, it's always attached to the name Elohim, not the name of Hashem, the name of Adoshem. So for example, our pasuk that we were talking about, there's a name Hakel Hanemon, right? The Kel, there again, that Kel is a short version of Elohim. So it describes Hashem when it has a description that he's Neman, that he's trustworthy, so it uses one of the other names of Hashem, uses the name Kel. You never find that it says Hashem Neman, Hashem, you know, Rachum, a description going directly, or even, you know, the well-known pasuk that the Yud Gimel Midos, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum Lechanan. There's always that name, another name of God, like Kel, in between, because that's whenever you have a description of Hashem, it always goes on the name either Elohim or Kel. Elokei Tzivakos, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Avraham. It's all, never on the word Hashem. It's always on the name Kel or Elohim. So he says that's how Chazal understood from this pasuk that this was actually not a description of Hashem, but rather this was one of the names of Hashem. It doesn't say if it was just describing Hashem as Shalom, as one who brings Shalom, so it would have said he's a Kel Shalom. He's a god of peace. But the fact that it says Hashem Shalom, so that makes it clear that this is not just a description of Hashem, but actually a name of Hashem himself. Just the last comment on this topic, where we move on, is that the Shulchan Aruch actually passes this lahalacha that you're not allowed to say Shalom to someone in a bathhouse. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch describes there's different parts of the bathhouse, there's the outside, there's the inside, but anywhere where there are people who are actually going to be unclothed, and the same would be true in a bathroom, if where it's dirty, the same would be true in any dirty alleyway, a garbage dump, anywhere that you're normally not allowed to say Hashem's name or speak in Divrei Torah, you're also not allowed to say Shalom Aleichem to someone, and you'd be using that word Shalom, because it's one of the names of Hashem.
For example, if that's the case, what about if you have an animal that's considered an unclean thing in the house, let's say a dog, an enclosed dog? So you're not allowed to mention Hashem's name around the dog?
That may be. I can't recall. These halachos are discussed. I don't recall them offhand when you are, when you're not, but whatever, if there are certain animals I think that we consider more dirty than others, maybe just because they treat more often, I'm not sure, but we can look it up if it's relevant, and we can look into it.
No, I'm just curious. I don't have one.
Okay.
Somebody brought a dog over into the house, so they were walking in, I didn't feel comfortable. We don't have dogs, so I'd rather them not bring a dog into the house.
Right. I would be uncomfortable if someone bring a dog into my house for other reasons, just because my house isn't really dog-proof. But, yeah. Okay, yeah, but we could look into it if it's relevant. Interestingly, in the Mishnah Brura, he's quoting from the Achronim, but the Achronim discussed what about if a person's name is Shalom? Can you call a person by name in the bathhouse or in a bathroom? Can you say, "Hi, Shalom, how are you?" Without saying, you're not saying Shalom Aleichem, but you're saying Shalom. So it seems to be it's a machlokes, it's a dispute between the Achronim. Some say, you should call it, you should use a different word. Some allow it because you're not referring to Shalom, as opposed to when you say Shalom Aleichem, you're really referring to the idea of peace be upon you. That's really what it means. As opposed to when you're calling someone by name, Shalom, so you're not really saying peace. That's just his name. His name is Shalom. It's not like, not the word, it's not the meaning of the word that you're calling him. However, the Mishnah Brura says that a Yerei Shamayim, he says you could be lenient, and that's the minhag really, is to be lenient, but a Yerei Shamayim, someone who has fear of heaven, he should be machmir, since many Achronim do forbid it, even if it's just to say, call someone by name, Shalom, in an unclean place. And he says, he gives an eitzah, what you should do is just swallow the mem, say like shalom, or say shalom, or with a nun at the end, mix it up a little bit, just don't say shalom. And Mr. Brewer actually brings this down. And he adds that even in a letter, if you're writing a letter, you should be careful not to write the word shalom with the vav in its full spelling, because it's likely to be thrown in the garbage, and you'll be throwing out something that has Hashem's name on it. And he advises, therefore, to leave out the vav and write it as the sin lamin mem, and then it would be permissible to dispose of it. So it's an unlikely place to be learning something that's halacha, the maisa, that's relevant, but here we are in Sokhtin, Tarek Vav, Gidon's bringing a carbon, and we learn a halacha from this pasuk. Okay, moving on to pasuk Chaf Hei. This is 9.5, sorry. We'll have to get out the Tanakh. I forgot to,
You look on with me.
The Pasuk Chafei, yes, Vahi So, remember, what just happened? Gidon, he had this whole meeting with the Malach, and he said, he asked for a sign. The Malach gave him a sign. Gidon had brought the matzah and a goat and had put it on a stone, and the fire consumed them. And that was the sign from the Malach, and it was Hashem in fact talking to him. And it was on that night. Vayomer lo Hashem, and Hashem said to him, Kach es par hashar asher le'avicha. Take the par shor that belongs to your father. What is a par shor? A par is a cow, and a shor is an ox. So, what's a par shor? So, it seems the most simple approach is that it is a par that's already a little bit older. It's a buffer. It's not because a par ben yomo, even a one-day-old par can be called a par, a cow. And a shor, par shor means it was a cow that was a little bit older.
Here it's translated as young bull.
Young bull. Okay. Very good. I guess bull, right. Bull will be the proper gender. So he says, take this par shor, this young bull, asher le'avicha, that belongs to your father, upar hasheni sheva sonim, and the second par, the second bull, that's 7 years, see what the 7 years is, the harasa es mizbach habal asher le'avicha, and you should destroy the mizbeach of the avodah zara of the idol Baal, which belongs to your father. Father apparently had a mizbeach for Baal. There's an asherah asher alva pichros, and the asherah, the avodah zarah tree that is over the mizbeach, you should also cut down. So, what's this? So the first one was this young bull. What's the par hashem sheva shanim? The second. What was the second bull of 7 years? And the Farshim explain that from a Gemara that it had been, they had been preparing it for 7 years for Avodah Zarah. They had been fattening it up to bring as a carbon to the Baal. Now, we're talking about, it seems simply, we're Pashup Shat, there's two different bulls here. There's the one that belongs to his father, and then Parashani, a second bull that maybe belongs to townspeople that they had been preparing to bring as a carbon for 7 years. 7 years may sound familiar to you. It's been 7 years since Midian began to oppress Bnei Yisrael. The first pasuk in this parak, it said, "Vayitnei Hashem b'yad Midian sheva shanim." Hashem gave them into the hands of Midian for 7 years. So we're standing now at the end of the 7 years that Midian has been oppressing them, and here you have a bull that they've been fattening up to bring to Avodah Zarah for 7 years. So the Malbim, I think it was, somebody points out that. Somebody explains that they had, as soon as they were in difficulty, they began fattening this par up that they would bring when the Baal would save them from their troubles, and they would bring it as a carbon for the Baal. They're saving it up until their salvation, then they would bring it to the Avodah Zarah, the Baal that saved them. But Gidon is instructed to steal this cow away from them, and he's going to bring it, he's going to be told to bring it as a carbon to Hashem. Now, we're not going to have in the next sukkim an instruction for what to do with the first one. There's two bulls here. We're going to see, the pasuk will go on to explain what to do with the second one. It never says what Edom was supposed to do with the first one. So some mepharshim say he wasn't supposed to do anything with it. He was just supposed to take it from his father to make sure his father didn't bring it to Avodah Zarah.
Eventually.
What's that?
Eventually.
Right. And the Malbim says, though, that this was responding to Gidon, that Gidon had asked, and it's unspoken, but Gidon had asked, he wanted to bring a carbon, he had asked what he should bring, and then this pasuk is responding to that, kach es parashar asher le'avicha. Take this bull, this young bull that belongs to your father. But that's why it doesn't have to say what to do with it, because he was planning on bringing it for a carbon. He was just asking, which one should I bring for it, the carbon? And Hashem responded, take the young bull. That's the one that you should take. So it didn't have to say what to do with it. Gidon had preempted that, but because he had already said what he was going to do with it, he just wanted to know what to bring for the carbon. Hashem told him, bring this young bull. Pasuk Chavav, Uvanisa Mizbeach LaHashem Elokecha. And you should build a Mizbeach for Hashem. Al Rosh HaMa'oz Hazeh B'Ma'aracha. On the top of this stone, B'Ma'aracha, in an order. Which stone? So the same stone that Gidon had just used for the sign that he had asked for. He had asked for a sign. He brought the matzos and the goats and the marak, the gravy, the soup, and he had put all that on the stone, and the fire had come out and consumed it. So that's the stone that he's told to build a mizbeach on. B'maracha, in a proper arrangement, so that it won't topple over, make it neatly. The lakachta es hapar asheni, and you should take the second par. The halisa ola ba'atzei ha'asheira asher tisro, and you should bring it as a carbon ola, a burnt offering, using the wood from the asheira tree, from the avodah zarah tree. Take that, make a mizbeach. The mizbeach would also be from the stones of the mizbeach that he was commanded to destroy. He was commanded to destroy the Baal, the mizbeach for the Baal, rebuild it on top of this stone where you made the sign, and then use the Asherah branches in order to burn the offering.
You couldn't do that if it was metal, right?
Couldn't reuse
it if it was metal, right?
What, the mizbeach?
Yeah.
Because.
Or ever makabel zuma?
Yeah, I mean, in general, I don't know if you'll be able to break apart a metal mizbeach either. But they didn't use metal mizbeach, at least the Jewish people didn't use metal.
So I remember learning that if something is used for a avodah zarah, you're not allowed to make any use of it.
Very good. So we're going to see that there's a lot of things that you normally wouldn't be allowed to do, and that Gidon is being told to do. Gemara recounts 8 things that were permitted, the Harah Shah, special permission for this moment that you normally wouldn't be allowed to do. So far he's been told, take the animal that they had designated to Avodah Zarah, take the stone from their Avodah Zarah Mizbeach and rebuild it into a new Mizbeach, take the wood from the Asherah tree and use that to burn the offering. And that's what Gidon says. I just want to point out, interesting, the pasuk here still refers to the par as hapar hasheni. Even now, take the second bull. So I think I saw, there's a Rashi somewhere, it's not here, I saw someone quote this Rashi that understood this word sheni, not as the second one, but somehow as the prepared one or the fattened one, that sheni in this context has picked on a different meaning, not as the second one, but maybe the bigger one. I don't remember exactly how it was described, but that would explain why it keeps referring to it as the parashani, the second bull, even though we know which one it's talking about already, because it's it doesn't mean the second bull, it means the fattened bull or something like that. The description of the actual bull. So what happened? Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayikach Gidon Asara Anosim Me'avadot, and Gidon took 10 men from his servant, Vayas Kasher Diber Elov Hashem, and he did as Hashem had commanded him, spoken to him, Vayihi Kasher Yare Esbeis Aviv Es Ante Ha'ir, Me'asos Yomam, and it was when he was afraid, he feared the men of his father's house and the men of the city, they were all Baal worshippers. He was afraid of what they would do, of their reaction. By Yahshua, so he did this all at night. That may be why he needed the 10 men. He either needed the 10 men because he wouldn't be able to get it all done in time. He had a lot of work to do. He had to destroy one mizbeach, build another one, bring the carbon on it, all in one night. So he would need a lot of help. What's that? Yeah, heavy stones, breaking it apart, building it. So he needed help, and apparently there were enough good men in the town that would be able to assist him. Others suggest that he needed 10 men because he was supposed to make a Kiddush Hashem here. He was supposed to make a Kiddush Hashem Barabim, a public Kiddush Hashem, sanctification of Hashem's name, and he needed a million of people to be there. He needed 10 men to witness this, for it to create the public display of Kiddush Hashem. Pasuk Chafches, Vayashkimu Ante Ha'ir Baboker, and the man of the city got up early in the morning, Dinei Nutat Mizbach HaBaal, and behold, the Mizbeach of the Baal had been destroyed, V'ha'asherah Asher Olav Karasa, and the Asherah tree, their Avodah Zarah tree, was cut down, the eighth par hasheni hala, and the second par, this bull was brought as a carbon al hamisbeach habanoi on this newly built misbeach. They either saw the remains of the carbon burning still, or they noticed that their animal was gone. Somehow they picked up on the fact that he had, or maybe it was still burning. They picked up on the fact that their sacred animal that they had been fattening for 7 years was now burnt. Some of Farshim understand Vayashkimo, they got up early. Usually that means, when we find that in Tanakh, it means they got up, you know, you're getting up to do something, right? Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Avram gets up in the morning to saddle his donkey, and we have it in other places. So these Mepharshim suggest, I think whoever says this would not be assuming that they were waiting until salvation to bring the carbon. Somebody I saw suggested they woke up because this was the day that they were going to bring the carbon. They had been preparing it for 7 years. Today was the day, and it was that day that Hashem chose would be the day. The night before would be the night, perfect timing to take away to foil their plans, take away the option of bringing their 7 years of preparation of this fatty cow that they were going to bring as a carbon to Avodah Zarah. Hashem commands Gidon, make sure it doesn't happen. You should bring it as a carbon to me before that opportunity. Pasuk Chavtes, Vayomru Ishar Ehu, and each man said to his friend, Niyasad of Arazah, who has done this? Who has taken our animal? Who broke our mizbeach? Who cut down our Asherah tree? Vayidrishu, Vayivakshu, and they looked into it, they speaked out, and they saw out, and they requested, they looked into it, Vayomru, and they were told, and they said, somebody told them, I guess, Gidon ben Yoash, Asa Hadavar Azeh, Gidon, the son of Yoash, did this. It was Gidon. Pasuk Lamed Vayomru Ante Ha'ir al Yoash, and the men of the city said to Yoash, Hote es bincha v'yamav. Take out your son, and he should be put to death. He notat mizbeach ha'baal, for he has destroyed the mizbeach of the baal, v'chicharas ha'asherah asher olav, and he has cut down the asherah tree that was over it. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayomer Yoash, Lecho Asher Amdu Olav, and Yoash said to all those that were standing there, Ta'atem Teribun LaBaal, are you going to fight on behalf of the Baal? Imatem Toshiun Oso, you're going to save him, you're going to avenge him, Asher Yariv Lo, that you're going to fight on his behalf. Yumas at Aboker, we should wait till morning for him to die. Let the Baal enact punishment on his own. Im Elohimu Yarev Lo, if he is a god, in fact, then he will fight for himself. Hinatav says Mizbecho, for it was his Mizbeach that he don't destroy. So Yoash tells them, we already see here, Yoash isn't such a simple character, even though the Mizbeach for Baal was in his property. Maybe he just cared for his son, or maybe he was, you know, not as bad as he looked. Here he is, he's coming and defending Gidon, and saying, no, Gidon can take care of himself, the Baal can take care of himself. And he tried to delay. He said, let's wait till morning to see if the Baal will take care, you know, will avenge himself. That's Rashi's approach. The Malbim says that if he's waited till morning, then obviously, right, the Advoker here, the Malbim says, is, look, it's been all night, and the Baal hasn't done anything, you know, if he's a god, then he should have avenged himself, and if not, then why are you trying to defend him? Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayikro Lo Vayomahu Yerubal Lamor, and he called him on that day Yerubal. They called Gidon Yerubal Lamor, saying, why did they call him Yerubal? Yarev Bo Habal, the Baal will fight him. He not has his Mizbechol, for he has destroyed his Mizbeach. This is either Yoash calling him Yerubal, that he's saying, if the Baal can fight him, then he'll fight him. Or it's the people calling him Yerubal, saying, let the Baal fight him, let him be destroyed by the Baal. But he don't get the name Yerubal. And that is the episode of the Karban of Gidon. So as we mentioned, the Gemara tells us that there were many things that normally would not be permitted that were permitted. The Harah Shah was a special command from Hashem. Gemara says as follows. It's the Gemara in Temura. The Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish, Ein Asra L'Muksa L'Sheva Shanim. The only animal that's forbidden the only type of Avodah Zarah that's forbidden is if it was hooked, if it was set, if it's been set aside for Avodah Zarah for 7 years. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Vayiba Laila Ahu, Vayomer was on the night quoting our Pasuk, and Hashem said, Kach es parashar asher l'avicha, it brings our Pasuk, Reish Lakish is saying that it only remains forbidden for 7 years. Reish Lakish says something that is separated for Avodah Zarah, an animal, you're not allowed to bring it as a carbon, but it only lasts for 7 years. It expires after 7 years. You see that from our pasuk that it was set aside for 7 years, but then Gidon was allowed to bring it. So that's what Reish Lakish said. So the Gemara asks on him, what do you mean? That you think that was the only thing that wasn't permitted? You think now it was permissible to bring it? You think muksa, that it was set aside for Avodah Zarah, was the only problem? Neva namiha, but it had also been worshipped. They had worshipped that cow. Rashi says, I don't know how the Gemara knows it, but somehow the Gemara knew that it was also worshipped. Rav Acha bar Yaakov responds, it wasn't worship. It was set aside to be worshipped, but it wasn't actually worshipped. Rava says, no, it was worship. And then he quotes Rabbi Abba bar Kahana that in fact there were 8 things that were normally forbidden that were permitted on that night. The first one is chutz. chutz echutz, but they were allowed to bring a karban outside of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. So the Mishkan in this time was in operation already, and it seems the Gemara is saying, even in the time of the Mishkan, I don't remember, I always get confused, but it seems even in the time of the Mishkan, you wouldn't be allowed to bring a karban, and he was allowed to bring a karban. Right.
They had local.
So I can't remember if that was only when there was no Mishkan or even when there was a Mishkan.
There's always a Mishkan.
So I'm not sure, but that's what the Gemara says. Shkutei chutz was a problem. So I'm not sure how to fit that in. I seem to remember, like you, that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you couldn't bring outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but during the time of the Mishkan, I thought you could, but I could be correct. This definitely seems to say that you could not, and that was one of the things that was specially permitted. In addition to that, the Lila, normally they wouldn't bring a karban at night. He brought it at night. The Zaros, normally a Zar wouldn't bring it, a non-Kohen, he wasn't the Kohen, he brought it.
Do we know that it was brought at night?
Yeah, he did the whole thing at night. The Pasuk said he was scared to do it during the day.
He was scared to break it apart. We could have slaughtered it during the morning. Right?
No, but the bringing of the... Well, all of it. He was scared of the townspeople, so he did the whole thing in secret. What else? The Gemara says, Kli Sharis, it wasn't... He didn't use holy vessels for bringing the karban. Kli Asherah, he used from the Asherah. He normally couldn't use... Sorry, not only did he use... Then it says Ate Asherah. He used the vessels that they normally use for karbanos for the Asherah, and he also used the wood from the Asherah, and Muktzah was set aside for Avodah Zarah, and it was Nevad, and it had actually been worshipped. All of these eight things were normally forbidden.
In Zaruth, he was not a Kohen.
Right, so that's right. That's listed as well. And I think we'll say for next week, we'll offer some reasons why he got this special permission, why this was necessary.